Loving having you in, Richard. Appreciate it. I don't know if you've ever talked with Tim Bryce before on any of your fill-ins with us.
I think I have.
Yeah, it seems like you have. But Tim Bryce, man, we hooked up years and years ago. I don't know if we saw like one of his articles. He's been writing commentary, and he's published in some papers around the country, does some radio stuff, business guy, consultant, all-around cool dude. And he is our... He's our Southern Tier connection. Anyway, I always read his stuff, and every now and then one of them just hooks me, and it seems to fit right in with what we're talking about at the time, and that's kind of the case today. So Tim's on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, and we're talking about the American psychosis. We talked a little bit the other day about Ken Burns, the documentarian, and he's talked about what he felt were three viruses affecting America, which put us at the crossroads of like one of the greatest challenging times in America, on par with World War II, the Great Depression, and the Civil War. His viruses were the media, COVID, and race relations.
Yeah, you mixed them up.
Did I put you
in there?
Race relations.
Race relations, racism, COVID, and misinformation.
Well,
that was his.
Well, I would consider misinformation the number one virus that we've got going on, which is really going on at that. Interesting. There's a general malaise in the country now. I've talked to all kinds of people across the country. I've talked to people out in Arizona, Minnesota, Kentucky, Ohio, North Carolina, Georgia, and down here, of course. And I've run into more people nowadays that are in just like a purple funk. And they said, Tim, I've never felt this way before. I just feel horrible about my life. And they're very depressed. And I'm going, wow. And I'm feeling it too. And I'm starting to ask why. And really, we shouldn't be surprised, you know, in terms of the way the government has been running out of there. Rasmussen tells us that the American people are not happy with the direction we're going at. Biden's numbers are tanking.
Right.
And we also have lost confidence in all of our usual institutions. We, of course, lost, you know, confidence in the Congress, the media. But we're also losing confidence in our schools and organized religion, which, I, you know, that really caught me off guard. But, you know, I mean, you look at these things like you were talking about, COVID-19, the pandemic, our borders are not secure, we got illegals coming over in record number, taxes and inflation are going up, the economy is still sluggish as hell. And people are just saying, what are we doing? And then we had the Gabby Petito incident, you know, and that's making us question our moral fiber. And, you know, it's all adding up to some bad things. Well, I happen to remember that I wrote this article about 5 years ago, and at the time I pinned the blame strictly on the fake news, the mainstream media. But I think it's gone beyond that now. I think it's a matter of our moral values are all skewed right now. And we're not happy. We're not functioning properly, you know, and it's impossible to ignore the events of the day. I mean, we now live in a 24/7 news cycle, and we're listening to this stuff all the time, and it's a real downer.
It certainly is, and I think that part of the frustration, Tim, is you mentioned elections as, you know, get up off your butt and do something about it. Most people don't have the clue. They probably can't. I know they can't articulate their issues as well as you just did, but. But we feel those issues across the country, and then everybody's going, so what can I do about it and make any kind of a difference? We seem to be, you know, up against this mammoth system that's entrenched and unstoppable. So what...
You compare the 60s to the decade we're going through here now. 60s, yeah, it was the wild decade there. Yes, we did have riots and the hippies and God knows what else, you know, happening out there. Watergate was into the early 70s, come to think of it. But anyway, we're still pretty much optimistic. We put a man on the moon, you know, and we saw all kinds of things exciting happening in the 60s. People now feel beaten down, and they're losing their will to fight, and that's what scares me.
Hey, Tim, don't you we had a record number of folks come out and vote in the presidential
election.
Yeah, record number of folks. So people are getting off their butts and voicing their opinion. Unfortunately, there was a few more liberals than conservatives in the last election. But at any one time, no matter who's in power, aren't you ignoring the will of half the people in the country? And how do you manage that?
That's a good point. You know, one way or the other, somebody's going to be ignored. I think the status quo, which is really center to the right, the status quo is not happy at all. You know, and I think they're starting to raise their ire. And I think you're going to see much more vocal protest to what's going on over there. And, I don't see anybody, you know, going to arms yet, you know. And I don't think Joe Biden will get assassinated or anything like that, because after all, you'll end up with Kamala after that. And you know, so that's his safety net there. But people are really angry. So the 2024 election, or no, 2022 elections next year, my God, that's going to be the real telltale sign at that point. And again, like you said, you know, half the country will be upset by it. But I'm wondering what that other half country is. I mean, we've got so many illegals in here and so many people on the liberal side. I really wonder if they're that big a majority that they claim to be. You know, down here in Florida in the last election cycle, we had more vote by mail than we've ever had in our existence. You know, why is that? Oh, it was COVID-19, Tim. No, it's not COVID-19. There's some shenanigans going on, I'm confident. Yet Florida still carried Trump. But, you know, I'm really worried about this next election. And that's why Biden is working overtime to try to get his agenda in there. Look, you know, he's got a budget in here that he's proposing for $5.4 trillion. That to go along with a $3.5 stimulus bill. Are you aware that the Congress has already spent $2.1 trillion this year alone? I mean, our national debt is just going through the roof.
Well,
and nobody's paying attention. They're tired of it.
Tim, you know, historically, the party that isn't in power will take back some of the power in the midterm elections. Isn't that reason to hope? I mean, that's pretty well documented.
I think it's going to be devastating for the Democrats, to be honest with you. I think we're going to see a huge tsunami going to the right on this one.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's how angry people are.
Yeah, it's not wishful thinking. It's history. I mean, that's usually what happens. And then you've got these extraordinary things that are going on. How much of this do you think is, the way we feel about it, is a function of the fact that we're living through it? We were kid. I don't know how old you are, but I was just a little kid in the 60s during the counterculture and the Vietnam War. And that was a turbulent time in America as well.
Yep.
Don't you think those people who were living through that thought that was the worst time?
Yeah, probably. But here's the difference, Dave. We were willing to talk about it at a social level. And we had, when I was living in Cincinnati at the time, we had friends who were Democrats. And no, we didn't get into shouting things. We had good, logical, rational arguments. I was recently dating this Democrat woman. And she goes, Tim, the reason I like going out with you is when you talk politics, you know, you talk about it very rationally. You're not visceral like a lot of people I know. We knew how to communicate back then. Now you bring it on up in any discussion. No, stop right there. No, let's not go into there. Well, why not? Let's go in there. Let's talk about these things. This is a country now that doesn't know how to communicate. And with all the technology we've got, we don't know how to communicate socially.
I think that's a fantastic point. We don't. I see it play out in my own family and people who don't know how to engage and articulate are just, well, as you say, willing to just shut down conversation. And our default position is to run to the extreme side of wherever we're at in our arguments. We can't have those conversations. And Rush Limbaugh, if he were with us today, he would say that's because their ideas don't hold up under scrutiny and under debate and under examination. And therefore, they rely on the emotion that those things engender. And now you're dealing with an emotional person, not a rational, logical person, and that's going nowhere.
Yeah.
I get some interesting emails, too, from people. Tim, what are you going to do about this? You know, how are you going to attack this problem and so on? I always go back to them. No, what are you going to do? You know, it can't be just a couple handful of people like you see in a lot of organizations. No, you've got to get everybody else activated in that. I see all kinds of Republican, conservative clubs, all kinds of things down here, and everybody wants to be, you know, led. Well, fine, lead them. But get on a committee, do something. Do something. I don't care what it is, you know. Write to your newspaper, whatever newspaper you got left. get the word out there and, you know, be active and so on. No, and not everybody has to go on out and do something very dramatic. If everybody did just one stinking thing, one thing, it's like the old Billy Crystal movie, right? You know, and Curly used to say, yeah, it's just about one thing. Everybody did just one thing. Think how great this country would be.
Well, you're in your column, you include the idea of President Kennedy and ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And part of the problem for a lot of folks is that given where we are right now and how we got here, they don't trust the country. They don't trust the systems, as you pointed out. And so to find somebody that's willing to push past that and try to do something for their country when they see their country, they don't see it as like putting a Band-Aid on. They see it like contributing to the, you know, putting money into an empty hole or effort into an empty hole. So we got to find the different, as you say, find that different mindset that lets you acknowledge what's wrong and yet still have a positive approach to trying to make things right on whatever level.
Hey, let me make one other point real quick. Kennedy was an interesting thing. When he was assassinated, you know, my family was Republican. Everybody was devastated back then because we had such respect for the office.
Right.
You know, the whole country shut down, if you recall. And it was just amazing. I remember when I heard the news, I was in school at the time, and we shut down the school and whatever. It's not like that anymore. You know, if you were to say, let's say Donald Trump happened by accident to get killed or died, what do you think would happen in this country? They'd probably try to ban him from having his service at the federal, at the Capitol.
There's
no respect anymore for the institution of the presidency.
I could easily see them barring that, given his, you know, do we want to put a two-time attempted impeachment president in the rotunda? No, we don't. Well, you know, you're right. So it's half the country. I don't know what the future holds, but we got to stay on top of it. We got to keep watching it, and that's
just remember the glass is half full; it's not half empty. We got to change our mindset.
Well said, Tim Bryce. Appreciate you. What's the weekend
having? Keep the faith, guys.
What's the weekend have in store for you? We have our Central Washington State Fair getting underway today, so a lot of people.
Well, we got the Rays down here, and I'll mention the Rays did clinch two nights ago and to get into the playoffs. Yeah, and these guys, these kids are amazing. You know, I mean, very professional. The whole game has changed. And you and I talked about this before, Dave, and I blame it on, or I attribute it to, Tom Brady. Brady has brought a whole new culture to Tampa Bay. We now call it Champa Bay.
Nice.
You know, we got the Lightning, we got the Super Bowl, and now we want to go for the World Series again.
Tim.
This guy's had a fantastic effect on us.
Know your audience, Jim. Come on. We hate Tom Brady up here.
No, we don't.
Well, I know that, and I hated him, too, when he was up in New England. but seeing him work down here up close, you know, it changed the attitude of the Buccaneers overall. I used to regard them as nothing but thugs. These guys are now disciplined, organized. I've never seen such teamwork in my life than what I'm watching right now. It's actually a pleasure to watch the Buccaneers. And I never thought I'd say that.
Well, that's good. I'm a Brady fan for way back, and my partner here this morning, Richard, he's a Seahawk guy, and he's even got a little bit of Cleveland Brown in him, I think,
and Buckeye.
Tim Bryce, thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate you. Love your stuff. Love the way you think, and we're delighted to share it with our audience. So you take
care.
Have
a good weekend, guys.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon.